Welcome to the Experience Podcast, where the legacy, culture, and voices of the Morehouse College come to life. I'm Milton Rogers, a junior Africana Studies major and religion minor, hailing from Roxboro, North Carolina. Each week, we dive into the stories, perspectives, and experiences that shape the Morehouse community around us. From student leaders to change makers, from campus traditions to the challenges and triumphs we face, the Experience Podcast is your front row seat to the heartbeat of Morehouse. In our inaugural episode of the Experience Podcast, we're honored to have Mr. Josiah Harris. Josiah, introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you for having me. So what's good, everybody? My name is Josiah Harris, a graduating senior political science major on the pre-law track from the one and the only Oakland, California. And I currently serve as the 88th Vice President of the Morehouse College Student Government Association.
Cool. We're happy to have you. So Oakland, you said, right?
Yes, sir. So, Oakland, California.
Nice. How's Oakland? I lived in California for some years, but
okay.
I've never been to Oakland.
What part? Southern California?
LA.
That's where you stay?
San Diego and LA.
Okay. Yeah, got a lot of love for Southern California. I just believe that God created the better half of California, which is Northern California.
Oh, okay.
The Bay Area in particular. The Bay Area is a conglomerate of cities where San Francisco is located, San Jose, Marin Valley. This is where you have, the Fortune 500 tech companies.
Yep.
Silicon Valley is there as well. Antioch, you got like different parts of the Bay, but Oakland is where I'm from, and that's the heart of the Bay. We call it the heart, and we're the heart and soul of the Bay Area, as we've produced a lot of musical legends, a lot of good athletes. It's just really, Oakland is rich for its culture. A lot of people will recognize, a lot of great celebrities and individuals, to the Too Shorts of the world, to the Mac Dres of the world. Even to the Kamala Harris's of the world, who is from Oakland, California, and,
nice.
And proudly claims that. It's a place where Tupac even had his stomping grounds. So very, very rich in its music culture.
Nice.
Very, very rich in just culture in general. So that's a little bit about Oakland.
Nice. Yeah, I have one friend from Oakland. He's a designer in New York, and he speaks very highly of Oakland, sort of just like you. So, I may have to visit sometime.
Yeah, definitely got to come through.
So you being from California.
Yeah.
I'm from North Carolina originally.
Nice.
So this is right, Atlanta is right up the street, like 6 hours. I drive to Atlanta. I'm driving there tomorrow, actually.
Nice.
But being from California, how were you exposed to HBCUs? And like, what did that look like for you?
Absolutely. So I was fortunate enough to be in what I'm going to call a baby Morehouse in middle school. I was exposed to a program that was very uniquely designed for young black men in Oakland. It was called the African American Male Achievement Program. And it was essentially designed and founded, curated by Christopher Chapman, Christopher P. Chapman, who is from the Bay Area, from Oakland as well. And he, called out the Oakland Unified School District and essentially said, you all are failing our black boys. You're failing our black babies. In particular, black men around 2010 was when it was created, were, amongst the highest rates of dropouts, were amongst the highest rates of low GPAs, were amongst the rates of expulsion and suspension. And so, you essentially have, what our ancestors would dub as babas, right? You address somebody as a baba if they, are a mentor or a father sorts. And so we call him Baba Chris, Baba C, and that's somebody that the community looks up to because he adopts a community. He adopts sons just like, they were his. And so he went to the district and called out Oakland Unified School District amongst several other marquee leaders who, what I would call revolutionized education in Oakland. And so what did they do? They said, we need to create a program specifically for black male youth. And so what they did was they created a program called AAMA, and it was essentially in elementary, middle, and high schools. And it was a class taught by a black male teacher to all black male youth, right? And so you've seen this model in elementary. You've seen, a black male teacher coming in to teach specifically black men, black young men in an elementary class, in a middle school class, and even a high school setting where it's more prominent that they need those tangible skills before they go into the world. And so I was first exposed in middle school when my professor, and I don't know why I say professor, he was my AMA teacher. He was my instructor, what we called him. Seventh grade year, he is a graduate of Howard University in D.C. Mm-hmm. And so it was my first, you know, like, oh, what is this? And he was like, yeah, it's all Black institution. And, you know, I, spoiler alert, I had to say it, but initially my first thought was I want to go to Howard.
For sure.
The other 1867, like, we got a lot of love for them, but I initially was like, I really love Howard. I really want to be a Bison, and I wanted to be in D.C. because I wanted to be a lawyer. Mm. And I wanted to be a lawyer and work at the nation's capital. Like, that was my whole ordeal. But anyways, to go back to what you're saying about exposure to HBCUs, that was my first side of it. I'm unfortunately... And I don't say this lightly, but unfortunately, I'm a first-generation college student. And so neither of my parents, my mom started community college, didn't finish. My dad didn't even pursue a post-secondary education. But I wasn't exposed until, like, my teacher did it. And so with that, you know, came programs. And so through the same program that I'm speaking of, AAMA, we took trips to, like, Houston, to, like, New Orleans. And so when we went to these different trips, I learned about brothers that I'm traveling with who are other Black male youth from the city who are like, you know what, I'm applying to Morehouse, and mm-hmm. I'm applying to Howard, and I'm applying to FAMU, and all these prominent HBCUs that you just don't know about mm-hmm. until you get out in the world. And so that's a whole other conversation about being exposed outside of your own mm-hmm. community, but it was within the community that I learned about HBCUs.
Nice. Yeah, I have a different, but my mom is a professor at HBCU. Shout outs to North Carolina Central University.
Okay.
But
what is that, NCCU?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in Durham, North Carolina.
That's what's up.
She's been there for 28 years. I think 28. Am I rounding up, Mom? We don't know. But 28 years. But yeah, you know, I was put on a HBCU campus at a very young age. However, you know, at a very young age, I was shown Morehouse as well, like when I was 12. And so, like, I was like, I'm going to Morehouse. I didn't care what else I was doing, but I wanted to go. And right out of high school, I did not attend Morehouse. I was like, you know, I did other things. I was a makeup artist for years. And then during the pandemic, I'm like, I want to go back to school. And so, crazy thing, I lived in L.A., and went to Los Angeles City College. Nice. And I graduated from there in June of 2024.
Okay.
And then I started here in the fall.
Fall
so,
24.
Yeah, fall 24. So this is my second semester here. And you also are a transfer student.
Absolutely.
So, and you've been here for, when did you transfer? Tell me about your transfer.
To Morehouse? You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Woo, you're taking me back to, let's see. You're taking me back to fall 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Fall 2022 is when I transferred to Morehouse College. And it was a journey. Mm-hmm. I had to take a deep breath.
For sure.
Because I'm definitely grateful to God that it was a journey. And mm-hmm. I'm definitely grateful that it wasn't necessarily linear, so to speak. I mean, people preach, oh, you know, you graduate high school and you're going to go to college for 4 years, and then you're going to make thousands of dollars a year. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's this dream that they sell to you that it's going to be perfect. It wasn't by any means perfect for me, but I thank God for mm-hmm. that. And so, you know, a kid again from Oakland, California, who, similar to you, what I'm hearing, and if I can confirm what you just said, is that Morehouse was a little intimidating to you.
No, for sure.
Yeah. So I was actually in the same position. I didn't initially follow through with all of the necessary requirements that admissions asked for me to want to seek admissions at Morehouse College. Right. And so my mind at the moment was set on Howard, graduating high school. So let me just rewind. So I graduated high school in 2020. Mm-hmm. I was the pandemic baby. I was the only year that had everything online. I couldn't walk the stage. I didn't have prom. My sports were cut short. Just the whole world changed. It turned upside down, to be honest. And so 2020 was an interesting year. But my parents and my mom in particular was just like, you're not going anywhere. And was very stern about making it known that she didn't want to send me across the country and not know how this thing was going to spiral. you know, not know how COVID was going to take its turn and, you know, continue to take millions of people's millions of lives. And so I kind of went with what they call it, swimming at the shore. I kind of, you know, stayed at the shore and ended up choosing Sacramento State University, which is a state school in California.
How far is that from?
From Oakland. It's about 2 hours.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And so Sacramento is the capital of California. And so the capital, which is, you know, a really big city, but COVID had it shut down, essentially. Campus was shut down. And so just wanting to kind of stay near home and ensure that my mom could be comfortable with the pandemic and that I would be okay. I did a semester there, and it was really horrible. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it and act like I was this great academic. It didn't go well for me. Mm-hmm. And so a part of life is pivoting. And that's when I spoke about the linear piece earlier, was that you have to be honest with yourself and say, this is not going so well as I thought it was going. And so with that being said, I had a heart-to-heart with some of my mentors, and they said, you know, some of the greatest people I know that have gone off to great institutions transferred from community college.
For sure.
And they put that notion in my head. And I'm going to be honest with you, is that, you know, how do I say this? I was afraid of community college.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. It's this sense of, like, you're not good enough.
For sure.
If you go to community college, it's this sense of like, well, they went to 4 years UC Berkeley.
And why didn't you?
And like, I'm at community college. Yeah, it's this sense of like, so, and my I hate to keep going off track, but my grandmother always told me that comparison is the thief of joy.
No, for sure.
And so when we sit up and compare our lives to other people, you're stealing your own joy by just the mere fact of just being compared to somebody else. And so once I realized that, you know, I didn't need to compare myself to anybody, I took a limb and went to community college. And so went back to Oakland, left Sacramento State, and I did a year and a half at a community college called Chabot Community College. And, you know, I was planning all along to spend a year and a half there and to transfer to Morehouse. And, you know, just to kind of fast forward the journey a little bit, ended up getting to the spring of 24, or excuse me, the spring of 22, where I submitted my application and was nervous about what the outcome would be because I applied to a few different institutions. Howard was one of the likes, but Morehouse was at the top of the list. Fair enough, fall of 21, I had come to Atlanta. And so this is why I tell anybody, before you make a decision, go tour the college. Had not it been for a tour at Morehouse College, I would not have been sold on this campus. And so it was in the fall. Yeah, no, it's real. Sometimes you need a tour. And so in the fall of 21, I had two friends who were freshmen here. And crazy enough, I came on what day? A Hump Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You came on a great day.
I came on a Hump Wednesday. And one of my homies, I'm texting him. My family lives in Alpharetta, which is about 45 minutes from Atlanta, Metro Atlanta. And I was there for about 4 to 5 days. And we were just on vacation. And I'm like, Mom, can you take me to Morehouse? Because my mom and her husband, my stepdad, because I wanted to see the campus and visit my friends. So when I arrived, my friend's like, yo, you came on a perfect day. I arrived at like 4 p.m. Mind you, smack dab in the middle of Hump Wednesday. We're about to start, smack dab right in the middle of the day. And y'all, when I tell you, like, campus was packed and I had an opportunity to walk this campus and see so many, like, beautiful black people, so many beautiful black women from Spelman come over here. You got black men walking down the street in suits. It's a hot day outside. The music sounds good. It was just super dope. And I really immersed myself into this campus. And then what was the tipping of the iceberg was my same friends who showed me around took me to a party.
Oh, nice.
They took me to a party that evening. And so I had a chance to really see what it was like to be a student for a day at Morehouse.
Nice.
So, yeah, okay, fast forward. Applied in the spring of 2022. And was graciously accepted and started my journey in the fall of 2022, and the rest is history now. So
funny thing, you came on a Hump Wednesday. I've celebrated a birthday. I want to say it was my 31st birthday.
Really?
And me and my friends came to Atlanta, and I was like, you know what? My birthday is on a Tuesday. It's the 19th. So we were celebrating on the weekend. I'm like, no, I'm going to go to a Morehouse. Because I was like, after I finish as associates, I'm going to apply. Right. So here we are. Summer. It was like 7 people here.
Jesus.
It was the absolute, it was a...
Probably horrible depiction, huh?
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, but it was, but they had. I had a tour. It was probably like 10 people in the group. And to be honest, I didn't have any other thoughts in my mind. But you know, doubt is a thing. So when I applied, I was like, let me apply to other schools. I promise you I went to Clark's website and it was like down. And then I was like, maybe I should apply to Georgia State. And I tried to like make an account and it was like not allowing me to make an account. So I'm like, well, God, here you are. Once
showing
again,
you what it is.
He's like, well, you really can't do these things because this is not what I have planned for you. So just get out of my way. But yeah, so being a transfer has been, you know, I feel like what tools, tips, things come to mind when you think of transferring? Because some people have been at this school since, you know, freshmen, they have freshman dorms. You know, people were asking me what my freshman dorm was, and I was like, well, I did not stay in a freshman dorm.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and so just like, how do you feel like a transfer can navigate or should navigate or things they might do differently than a person who's just, you know, coming in as a freshman?
Yeah, and are we speaking just in general?
Yeah,
just
in general. At Morehouse, specifically.
Specifically, okay. Yeah. I'll start with that, and I'll try to make it as general as possible for those who were transfers maybe all over the country.
Yeah,
maybe
for sure.
You got fan base in North Carolina as well. Being a transfer at Morehouse was, it was a process. Because the first few days you get here, you're already older than the average freshman. When you do NSO in the fall, I was 20. I was considered a sophomore at the time. And Morehouse, you know, just threw me in there with the rest of the guys. And so, I don't have a freshman home that most people can relate to. I mean, I stayed in Whitehall my sophomore year. That was my first residence hall on campus. And now, funny enough, Whitehall is now a freshman dorm. It's considered like they have a stroll team and they have a house council. And so it's widely recognized from the campus that Whitehall is a freshman home. However, it wasn't always traditionally that. Whitehall is traditionally ROTC building. It's used for the students who are in JROTC who want to be in Army. And so they put me on the third floor. So ROTC is on the second floor. The first floor of Whitehall is office space. The third floor was transfer students. They had an overflow, influx of transfers and freshmen who they didn't have a traditional house to put them in. And so just getting there, my first thought was, I don't know anybody outside of the 2 or 3 people that I knew. However, they had their own friend groups. And I didn't want to be the guy, like, who didn't have...
This is my friend.
Yeah, like, I didn't... You know, I hate to be the guy to tag along everywhere he goes, like, now I'm your best bud because we grew up together. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to be able to stand on my own morals, my own values, and be my own person. But it was hard walking down Brown Street because, just to be quite honest, and I'm sure we can agree, Morehouse is very cliquish.
Very cliquish.
Yeah, very cliquish.
And intimidating, even on campus. No,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got a title or you got Greek letters on your chest, and it just appears intimidating. As I just can't comfortably start a conversation
with anyone.
And we be cool. You know, like, you know, there's this sense of intimidation. So I agree with you. And so... Yeah, for the first couple weeks, it was hard. But God was putting my people right in my face the entire time. And I actually had a chance to talk about this on, there's a student who attended Morehouse this year from South Africa. His name is Kumo Kumalo. And I had a chance to talk about this on his podcast last semester, which was just saying that my friend group was literally all alone right in my face. Mm-hmm. And so God had placed 3 to 4 brothers in my dorm right around me who were like literally neighbors to me that were also transfers. Mm-hmm. And so we did NSO together. We were in, you know, the same like Whitehall group chat. We were next to each other in the chapel when we did all the events. And literally, they are my best friends to this day. Like, we're in a group chat with each other. We share locations. And if it had not been for me recognizing that I had a friend group right there, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been comfortable going throughout this experience knowing that I have brothers that I can trust, that I could tell anything. They know where I'm at all times. And we could just have real conversations. Right. We've taken trips together to New Orleans. We've done a bunch of stuff together. And so just have been through and through real brothers. And so that helped me figure out, you know, how I wanted to navigate. And so if I could give advice, I mean, I guess that's what the question is. If I could give advice to any transfer student, you have to basically find your community. If I could be real, you have to find a sense of community, because once you find that friend, that brother to lean on, you're more likely to be more successful.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, I feel you. I think, you know, when I, being a transfer, being non-traditional, like really non-traditional student, I think when I got here, it was not only am I, you know, coming in as a transfer student, but I'm also coming in as a non-traditional student, you know, older, much older than a lot of people on campus. It was very intimidating because I've been, like I was saying, I've been in the beauty industry for the last 15, 16 years, and it's a place of comfort. And now being at Morehouse, it's a place of being not comfortable because mm-hmm. it's not a place I'm used to, it's not a place I know. I get exactly where you're coming from. I think also sometimes we think our tribe or our people are people that look a certain way or, you know, have certain majors or have, you know, are from a certain place. But in all actuality, it may be that, you know, I'm an Africana Studies religion major, but a bunch of my friends are like tech people. Mm. And I'm sitting here recording a podcast.
Right.
And never in my life would I have thought in my mind, because I'm a creative, but I'm like a visual artist. So here we are. But yeah, so I get it. And I think that you have to be open to having, you know, God direct your path in that way too as well. So SGA, like, did you do SGA in high school? Were you, you know, I ran for like a secretary position when I was in middle school, I believe. It was just not for me. You know, in that time it wasn't for me. But did you do SGA like when you were in middle school, high school?
Yes, I did. I did student government when I was in middle school. They used to call me Mr. President, but I just didn't think anything of it. And in middle school, I got voted the most likely to be U.S. president. Elementary school, I got voted to be most likely to be U.S. president. So I'd always been on this linear journey to be in politics one day. And I used to tell my brothers that I'm going to be, in fact, the president of the United States. And it was a joke until they began to believe it was true. But, yeah, I mean, in high school, I was the 2-time president of Black Student Union, BSU. And to me, SGA is our Black Student Union. I mean, because people ask me all the time when I go to conferences and stuff, they say, well, does Morehouse has a BSU? And I'm like, we are. The campus is a BSU.
Okay. Because why do we need? No,
we don't need a BSU, right? Like, we are the BSU, essentially. Right. So, so that was kind of like my inception. I had some foundation.
Nice,
if that answers your question.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, coming from a different era, time, and North Carolina, I'm come from a very small town. It's we only had, like, one high school. I think we have two. Well, we have two now. We had SGA, but it wasn't like a thing. You know, it wasn't important, because at the end of the day, it was just because you're supposed to have SGA.
Right.
They weren't making moves and making, you know, having the things done in the school that needed to be done. So I never felt like it was something that I connected to. And so SGA, you know, I see in different high schools that I've attended or heard of, they're like, oh, yeah, SGA was very important. I'm like, yeah, it was not that for us.
For us, yeah.
So historical figures and role models that you may have.
Yeah.
Who are those?
Wow, that's a good question. Historical figures and role models,
Or family members or mentors?
Yeah, so I guess there's a few. I'm going to start on the family member level, I guess. There are a few mentors who've helped me out along the way. I have to shout out Kevin Winston. He's the first name I can think of. Kevin Winston now works for the North Carolina Panthers.
Oh, nice.
Crazy enough.
Shout out to North Carolina. Again?
Yeah, I know, right? He's the senior vice president of player personnel.
Nice.
For the North Carolina Panthers, and grew up in Oakland, California. And before he had that role, he was the SVP for the Atlanta Falcons.
Nice.
So he did about 15 to 20 years with the Falcons. And in middle school, he mentored me while he was working for the Falcons. Crazy enough, like somebody who's in Atlanta working for the Falcons is mentoring me while I'm in middle school, and I end up in Atlanta going to Morehouse. Like crazy. Crazy correlation, but in middle school, he was busy working with NFL players and traveling with the team, but once a week, he would FaceTime a group of three black boys in middle school and talk to us and give us advice. He would update us, give us tickets to football games, and like put us on with his network, and just was an amazing role model and brother. Daryl Richardson, who helped me a lot in high school, member of the 100 Black Men of the Bay Area, and has just seen like a father, a second father to, you know, many sons. And I have to shout those names out. I have to shout the names out like Jerome Gordine, who's a mentor and a brother. His son Asa Gordine goes to Morehouse here today, and he's one of my closest friends from the Bay. But yeah, there are a plethora of gentlemen who's helped me. In terms of history, I'm going to shout out Spike Lee.
Oh, I like that one. I met Spike Lee in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Walking down the street. I lived in New York for a long time. And I was trying to say more, but I was sort of stunned. I was like, yo, this is really Spike Lee.
This is dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, that's somebody I would indeed be starstruck. So I'm sure we're going to get to how did I get to where I am in terms of VP, but if I could just spoil a little bit. My campaign name was Do the Right Thing. And so Spike Lee's movie out of Brooklyn was called Do the Right Thing. Yeah. And it was a very historical, legendary movie last year. I ran a campaign in the 30 or 50th year anniversary of Do the Right Thing. I don't know what it was. I feel like it's close to 50, but it was a really long time ago. And Spike is a Morehouse alum who is very, very prominent about repping this institution. And you see Spike Lee on the NBA sidelines wearing a Morehouse hoodie and a hat.
All the time.
Because he
has his Morehouse paraphernalia.
He loves his institution.
I mean, loves it. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him without something Morehouse. It's crazy.
It's insane. Like, he's our ambassador, our national ambassador.
Sure. And it's like it never ends. Like, it's something new every time.
Yeah, and he doesn't ask for a dime from the college. Yeah, I can bet you that.
We love to see it.
So, yeah, of course, and then, you know, to get a little radical there, Malcolm X.
For sure.
Brother Malcolm X. I have to give him his flowers because you don't speak of Malcolm X without speaking of sacrifice.
Right.
Sacrifice is what I put on the line for our people. Sacrifice is what got Martin Luther King Jr. assassinated. Sacrifice is what got Malcolm X assassinated. No one can sit up here and tell me that he didn't walk in that Autobahn ballroom with the impression that it wasn't a reality that he could be assassinated.
Right.
Every attempt, every outing, every public
Everywhere
speech.
Everywhere he went.
He knew that there was a target on his back. He knew that people in the New York Police Department and even the FBI was trying to infiltrate all of his team, and they were trying to get, you know, knowledge out of him that were trying to twist up stuff and say he was doing certain stuff. And again, it's been proven wrong, and he's been adjudicated even now,
right,
that it was all a conspiracy and that the FBI had something to do with it. But the mere fact that he could, knowing the target on his back, still show up to that ballroom and give that speech and risk his life and his family's life, man, one of my heroes, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. So those people, of course, influenced your life in general. So you being the VP, what does that look like?
Yeah, just becoming VP, it was insane. So I do now humbly serve as the 88th Vice President of the Morehouse College Student Government Association. That's a long title.
Isn't it a lot?
Super long title. The Morehouse College Student Government, SGA is really, really big on the campus of Morehouse College.
For sure.
So it's highly respected in high regards to all faculty. We have a real government system. We operate like the U.S. government. So SGA, before I talked about my role in particular, I want to set up what it is so people understand.
For sure.
SGA is a governmental system ran by students. It's operated and ran by student body. And we have three branches. We have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, just like U.S. government. The executive branch is where the SGA president oversees. You have chief of staff, you have executive secretary, you have a plethora of secretaries, secretary of athletics, secretary of academic affairs, secretary of transfer students, secretary of literally anything. We have health and wellness. We have institutional advancement, people who help with money. We literally have secretaries everywhere, and they help advance the campus. Legislative branch is where the vice president of SGA oversees, is what I oversee, and they are the Senate. So this is where you have 16 senators who are elected and appointed by the student body. And senators write legislation and bills on behalf of the student body. So some bills, students have wrote weight room bills to improve the weight room. Some students have written bills for scholarships. Some students have written bills to fix the bathrooms on campus. Some students have written bills to extend the payment deadline. So that's kind of what the legislative branch is. And then the third branch is the judicial branch, which they help work with the Title IX office and the Office of Student Conduct to help adjudicate cases. So if you get a case brought to you by the Office of Student Conduct, let's say you're in trouble with Morehouse PD and they write you up, it goes to conduct. When it goes to conduct, if you feel like the college is unjustly doing you wrong, you have student representatives who are well-networked in these departments that can help move your case forward or help file an appeal in that instance. Mm, and so that's what the student justices serve as. It's not a literal court, but it's an honor and conduct review board that if you need to be, if you need your case heard before the students, we can help advocate for you. So all in all, a real systematic, like it's real governmental, real system-oriented. And so how did I get to VP? That was the question.
Yeah. But I liked all of that because I think that some people don't understand SGA and understand the how similar it is to the, you know, the American government.
Real government.
And how it works. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. How did I get to VP? So my sophomore year, I came in as a transfer. I didn't have any roles on any e-boards. I was looking to ascend into SGA. Didn't know how I was going to get there. My junior year, I was appointed to be a senator at large, which is super dope. I had a chance to serve as a senator, and I began seeing Morehouse is bigger than what the eye can see, what the eye meets. It's about who you know. It's about the network. It's about what you do for this campus. People respect that. And so I just did a lot of the dirty work. I created a scholarship, helped with housing, helped solve the housing crisis. There was just a lot of stuff that I had my hands in last year, and that led me to want to become VP. So in the spring of 2024, I launched a campaign, as I mentioned earlier, called Do the Right Thing, Josiah Harris for Vice President. And it was a lengthy 2 weeks full of grit, full of, you know, trying to work with the student body to reason and sympathize for what has and what has not worked for a lot of the time for people. And so how does what I've done for this campus and my leadership style impact you? Impact you as a transfer? How does it impact you as an off-campus student? How does it impact you as a freshman who doesn't really understand the politics of SGA? Mm. So it was about bringing a bandwidth of knowledge to people who are in different aspects of this college. And so, yeah, it was a gritty 2 weeks, I'm going to be honest. And I thank God for running for VP because it set me up for literally life after this. And it allowed me to be in a position of leadership and just very grateful for the journey. But, yeah, it was a campaign. I had to have videos. I had to have a group chat of almost 300 people on GroupMe. I had to fundraise almost $1,000 from my community. I was on Facebook with my mom, and we were like, I need money for T-shirts, and I need money for pizza and donuts to give out on Brown Street because I was serious about educating the student body. I even did an event called so my campaign was Do the Right Thing. I did an event called Tacos the Right Way.
Because you're from California, you from think Cali. That. I mean, listen, the San Diego tacos.
They be smacking,
they huh? They are so good.
I know. So fun fact, I have a friend here. His name is Mike Lewis. Shout out my brother Mike, who's from the Bay Area. He does Cali Street Tacos.
Oh, nice.
It's called Showtime Tacos. Shameless plug, at Showtime Tacos, if y'all want to go ahead and get my brother booked. But he caters.
Nice. He's from Cali.
From Cali. Oh. And he has a grill, and he buys the meat and gets all the...
And see, that's the best kind.
Yeah. It's the real tortillas when yes. you fry it on top of the stove.
My type of party.
Man, so he came to Purdue Hall, and I paid him... We ain't going to talk about how much I paid him, but I took care of the brother to help give out some free tacos.
Oh, this was for your campaign?
This was for my campaign, yeah. Look at, see. And so we advanced him, made sure he was taken care of, but I gave out free tacos to, you know, students who were in the community... at Morehouse, and that was one of my marquee campaign events.
To be honest, I would have voted for that, just for the tacos.
Free street tacos no, for Cali? Sure. Like, yeah.
No, people don't understand, because, yeah, food, yeah. The Mexican food in Cali is so good.
Yeah.
Every time. I don't think I've had bad Mexican food in Cali.
It's, by the way, too, it's really bad in Atlanta.
Well, first of all, I don't even it's think really of Mexican here. Food in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's insane.
Only wings. Okay, yeah. Atlanta. All right.
Wings and soul food.
Well.
No? Breakfast food, they good at that too.
A brunch.
They good at
you
a brunch.
Love a brunch. Oh, they will brunch your
Atlanta
head off.
Love a brunch. Absolutely.
Will they not brunch you to death? For sure. So your term is almost up.
It is.
Because you're graduating.
Yeah, man.
So what are plans for Josiah next?
Whew. Wow. We're going to pray and leave it to God.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. And good night.
No, but yeah, it is definitely bittersweet. We are in February, entering March. I graduate May 18th, Sunday, May 18th at 9 a.m. I'm going to walk the stage and I'm going to be in tears.
It will not rain, guys.
I hope not. I'm going to be in tears. I'm going to be an emotional train wreck because this place means so much to me. Mm-hmm. And I cannot see life without it. But life moves on, and it must, my mom would say. You must get up and keep moving.
Yeah.
And King even said it, if you can't run, then walk.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't walk, then crawl. If you can't crawl, he said, do something.
Put me on your back.
Put do something. He said, whatever you do, you better keep moving. And yes. So life goes on after Morehouse. So, what is next for me? So... law school's next.
Nice.
That's what's on the list. I'm on the pre-law track, and I'm interested in going to law school because I want to become an attorney, and I want to open up my own entertainment law firm.
Nice.
I want to practice intellectual property law. I want to practice patent law, where I work with entertainers to protect their patents, their IPs, because, believe it or not, that's very prevalent in today's society, where people are very serious about their name, image, and likeness. They're very serious about protecting that, and so... You don't know how many times people are getting sued a day for playing a song, posting a picture, or even using a phrase without a celebrity's or entertainment's approval.
Right.
That's a real thing. And so there are a lot of lawyers behind these cases who are making bank, just to be honest.
For sure.
But no, in all seriousness, I want to open up my own law firm. That's the ultimate goal. And
do we know what school?
Do we know what law school? Yeah, there's a few good questions. So Georgetown's on the list in D.C.
We love D.C.
We love D.C.
Do you love Georgetown?
Georgetown's really dope.
It is so nice.
Yeah, super nice campus. I visited, met Dean Andy Kornblatt, who's the dean of the law school. Really amazing. And then there's a few schools, UC Berkeley Law, Stanford Law, Berkeley, I think it's the Haas School of Law. Mm-hmm. UC Stanford, Stanford's Law School in the Bay back in Cali. But really what's at the top of my list for top three is Pepperdine.
I've heard.
Pepperdine in Malibu. Mm-hmm. They have one of the top entertainment programs in the country.
We love Malibu.
We love Malibu, Southern California. It would give me a chance to expand because I've never lived in Southern California.
Nice.
Lived in Northern California my entire life. So if I were to go to law school there, it would just give me another chance to explore the California roots and meet another side. So, yeah, that's the ultimate goal. On top of law school, though, and open up my own firm, I want to have my own sports mentoring nonprofit that essentially the program has already been going. I know you alluded to it earlier, me being the founder of the Mentoring Opportunity League, which is a mentoring program that was sponsored by the 100 Black Men of the Bay Area and the 49ers for 3 years. And so we did sports mentorship there. But what I want to do is expand that to a full-time operating nonprofit that's nationally that then partners with major sports leagues and major sports franchises to provide mentoring for youth of color, in particular black men who want to get into the sports industry.
Nice. I think that you're on a great track for sure.
Thank you.
So before we wrap it up,
yeah,
what would you want to say to the Morehouse campus, the people that work here, the people that are coming next year? I mean, we have people, you know, I'm sure people are applying now. I mean, people are getting accepted now. I've been seeing them on social.
Yeah.
So the people who are, the men who are coming to Morehouse, what would you say to them?
The first thing I would say is stay true to who you are. Stay true to who you are. And don't allow the pressure of the Morehouse mystique to change you. I'm real. I'm being real when I say that because not saying that it happened to me, but there's this pressure of you have to be a Morehouse man in every setting you go, and you got to walk a certain way, and you have to talk a certain way. Morehouse man always keeps a pen. Like, okay, it's okay if you don't got a pen. You know,
you need a pen.
Yes, you need a pen, but it's not the end of the world, right? But you have to talk a certain way, and you have to present yourself a certain way. Yes, that is the case in certain situations. However, that should not consume you.
Right, right, right.
Right? That should not be your everyday. So know who you are and be comfortable in that. Because I'm going to be honest, there are a lot of people who come here and they begin to question who they are.
Right.
And know that you're who God made you are. You are who God made you. And if I can be biblical the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, right? He said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so understand that God made you like he intended to.
Right.
And so there has to be some comfortability, a level of comfortability. But the next thing is exploit the network.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So one is be who you are and be comfortable in that. But two is you have to exploit the Morehouse network because you have access to so many genius, bright brothers who, whether alum or current students, are going to go somewhere in life or have been there. And so when it comes down to current students, like, you never know. Like, I'm sitting next to the next millionaires, billionaires, the next tech geniuses,
right,
the next civil rights moguls, the next Ben Crumps, the next, you know, Michael Jordan. It's like, we are in the room with geniuses. And don't be so caught up into the cliques at Morehouse that you're not exploiting the network, access to the network. And so that's the biggest thing because me being SGA vice president, like, one of the things that I do is I network with faculty. Like, alone this morning, I met with Dr. Karen Miller, who's the chief administrative officer for the college. Mm-hmm. She's the CAO, and she is, like, one of the top dogs. She has multiple people reporting to her, and she works directly with the president of the college. And so me and her had a 30-minute check-in this morning, a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And I said, Dr. Miller, I'm not even calling Morehouse-related. I said, Dr. Miller, I need some help because I'm looking for something after, you know, Morehouse, post-grad. And just based off of that conversation alone, you know, she gave me some advice and promised me some things as well. So it's really just about putting yourself out there. And the third thing that I could give to brothers coming in is Really stay in tune with your emotions and your spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next biggest thing, because I could be honest with y'all, like, my first semester at Morehouse, it was a struggle spiritually.
No, for sure.
It was a struggle. And not to say that this place is, yes, we admit it's intimidating, but not to say that it's depressing or anything. Like, school and all the pressures of Morehouse can become depressing. I'm not going to sit up here and say it can't. But staying in tune with your spirituality and your emotions require you to do an in-depth search about who you are. And I had to do an in-depth search of me after my first semester at Morehouse, and I realized, you know what? You stopped going to church. You know what? You're not praying anymore. You know what? You're not working out. You know what? You're not taking care of the physical temple that is before you every day. And so once I realized that, I had to start going to church. I joined the church. I joined the Spirit of Truth Church now here in Atlanta. And under the leadership of Pastor Mark Moore Jr., I've been serving with him for 2 years. And as soon as I got there, I joined like the men's ministry, joined the security team, and just began doing the work. And I found joy. I found my joy again.
Yeah.
Because my soul was being fed spiritually. Mm-hmm. And then I joined Planet Fitness down the street. And so now I'm able to work out with my friends. And so, like, life began to turn once I was in tune. So nice. Those are my three pieces of advice. Know who you are. Be comfortable with who you are. Exploit the Morehouse Network. And stay in tune with your emotions and your spirituality.
I think that all of those points are, you know, things that you don't really think about. You know, you think you're going to get to this place because you've always wanted to go here, or, you know, and you're going to just hit the ground running. But like we said, it's intimidating.
It's a lot. It's intimidating.
Yeah. And you know, it's a trillion clubs you can join. And then yeah. It's like, you don't know who to, you don't know what to do, because you sort of want to do everything.
Want to do everything. Can I say this?
No. Yeah. You can. Well, yes, you can say whatever you want to say.
No, because it's just crazy. Like, you get to Morehouse and you're with other presidents. You're with people who were presidents of their high schools, mm-hmm. or who were also founders of nonprofits, or also founders of programs.
Everybody is like
something.
That person in there. And it's like,
it's crazy.
And everyone, and it's not, I don't want to say it's a competition, because I feel like everyone who comes here has already competed and they won in their moment.
Now you got to start over.
Now you got to start over.
You got to start over. Yeah, and you do.
Yeah, and so, no, for sure. But I think once you get your footing, like I would say, like last semester, I was like, it was like the Twilight Zone. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. What am I doing here? Why didn't I just go to the school my mom teaches at, and I could just, you know, go in her office and eat snacks? Hmm. But this was what God destined for me. But yeah, I think that those points are very vital, because I felt like I was like, am I doing things wrong? Am I losing myself? And I'm like a grown man. And I felt like my footing was being lost. So I can only imagine someone who isn't confident in themselves as a younger person, like right. 17, 18,
right.
how they feel. So
yeah.
I think that's very vital. Josiah, I appreciate you
Thank
for coming.
You, man.
This is
amazing
episode.
Inaugural. Wow. Inaugural. I'm honored. Yeah.
So, but yeah, thank you for coming, and congratulations on graduation.
Congratulations to you, man. Thank Excited you. For the platform. Seriously.
I appreciate it. And I can't wait to know what, you know, law school you decide to go to, and all the things you have planned for this future. That's a wrap on this episode of the Experience Podcast. Morehouse isn't just a college. It's a journey, a brotherhood, and a legacy that shapes us for a lifetime. Whether you're a student, an alum, or someone who admires the spirit of the house, we hope today's conversation gave you something to reflect on. Keep striving, keep leading, and keep carrying the torch of excellence. This is the Experience Podcast, where history, culture, and purpose meet. Until next time, blessings and peace.